You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with party co-leader James Shaw about some of the issues they have recently voiced concerns about. First off, we spoke about their push for progress on protection around the Hauraki Gulf. Earlier this week, the Green Party wrote to the incoming government to call for the progression without delay of the Hauraki Gulf Tikapa Moana Marine Protection Bill. I asked about the importance of this bill and the need for ocean protection in the Hauraki Gulf. We then discussed the party's recent petition to save the oil and gas ban, which a new government plans to lift. We spoke about the pressing need for banning oil and gas exploration and what the alternative options are. Finally, I asked about the party's stance on the new government's changes to the smoke-free legislations and what this could mean for New Zealanders. The Greens have written to the incoming government to call for progression without delay of conservation in the Hauraki Gulf. To start off, can you tell us about the Hauraki Gulf Tikapa Moana Marine Protection Bill? What is it and why is it important?
Well, let me start with why it's important. The Hauraki Gulf is one of the most significant stretches of ocean in Aotearoa New Zealand, and it is severely under threat from a variety of sources, which include pollution from Auckland City, overfishing in particular from particular commercial fishing interests, the invasion of essentially kind of weed plants that are causing damage to the native ecosystem there, the increasing temperature from climate change, which is again causing disruption to the ecosystems, and so on. So it's an incredibly important marine ecosystem, and it's really important that we protect it.
And what are we at risk of if this progression is delayed or worse, ignored in the long term especially?
Well, ultimately, it wouldn't take much for the Hauraki Gulf to tip over into a barren, like an ocean desert, if you like, a sort of a barren wasteland in the ocean, in which there's very little life, or what life there is sort of invasive forms of seaweed and so on. So that tipping point is actually probably closer than a lot of us would like to think, and that's why this bill and you know, the actions that arise from it to protect the Hauraki Gulf are so important.
And what has been the response and the actions taken from the community around the Hauraki Gulf, including Waiheke Bin? Have there been a lot of community initiatives and pressure on the government to do something?
Yes, there has been an enormous amount of pressure from community groups on Waiheke and in and around Auckland and the kind of wider region. That is actually really the reason why there's been any governmental action at all. It's taken years longer than it should have to get to this point. I have to say, you know, the Greens had some concerns that the bill had been watered down. So, for example, it doesn't include a complete ban on bottom trawling, a commercial form of fishing that essentially allows nets to drag across the ocean floor, which causes enormous amounts of damage to the ocean floor. There is a partial ban, so it essentially says that existing corridors will largely be kind of preserved as they are, but there won't be any new corridors for for ocean trawling, and that's the kind of thing that we think was a real compromise, because the amount of damage that particular form of fishing causes is really severe.
And is the Green Party planning to lead or collaborate with any community initiatives to help further this cause?
Look, we've got a long history of working with local community groups there to protect the Hauraki Gulf, and we really see our role in Parliament in many ways as helping to amplify the community voices that are standing up to protect the Hauraki Gulf.
Moving on to the oil and gas ban petition by the Greens. First off, can you walk us through what the oil and gas ban is in Aotearoa?
Certainly. In 2018, about 6 months after we got into government, we said that there would be no new oil and gas exploration in New Zealand waters. So we did say that existing exploration permits would be allowed to continue until they expired, but we said that we wouldn't be issuing any new permits. And the reason that we said that is because there is a climate crisis, and you know, rule number one of the climate crisis is stop burning fossil fuels. New Zealand is currently dependent on gas for part of our electricity needs and for some industry. But we believe that there is actually enough gas in our existing fields to be able to serve those needs whilst we phase out the use of fossil fuels entirely over the coming decade or two. So we think that it's frankly nonsensical to start looking for new sources of fossil fuels at a time when the use of those fossil fuels is phasing out.
What is the new coalition planning in relation to this ban, and why are they making changes?
The new coalition have said that they intend to allow exploration for new sources of fossil fuels in our oceans. That's been written into both the ACT Party and New Zealand First Party agreements with the National Party. I believe that they have swallowed a line from the fossil fuel industry themselves, who are saying that we've only got 10 years worth of reserves left and that we need gas to underpin the renewable energy sector. Those are very outdated views, but you know, it does show the influence that the fossil fuel sector has over the new government.
Now, you also said that you believe there is enough fuel without oil and gas exploration. Is this based off research or speaking with experts? How did you come about this conclusion?
Yes, so a couple of years ago, there's an organisation called the Gas Industry Company, which is a sort of a semi-regulatory organisation that kind of handles the gas sector as a whole in the country. They pointed out that we used to use about 200 petajoules of gas a year, but that actually that has been declining about 10% a year. So I think in 2022 we only used 145 petajoules, so that's fully a quarter less, so it's more than a quarter less than we were using only a few years before that. And they're anticipating that, you know, by 2035 that'll be down to something like 100. And by 2050, it'll be down to somewhere between 50 and 100. And so if you kind of say, well, you know, if the gas industry themselves are saying that they can see that decline in the use of gas in this country, then what we know about the existing reserves is that they should last that long. We also know that there's a whole lot of new technology that's coming on stream, and that you know, particularly solar and battery, is coming down in cost massively to the point where it's cheaper than using gas. And so, you know, our view is that there are things that you can do that mean that some of those assumptions about what we need gas for have changed over the course of the last few years.
And what are the impacts of lifting this ban, both environmentally and economically?
Well, environmentally, it's catastrophic. I mean, we know that we cannot hope to stop the climate crisis by adding more fuel to the fire. We know that we can't even use something like 80% of the planet's existing oil and gas reserves, let alone kind of going and looking for more. So environmentally, it's a kind of terrible idea to do that. Economically, we also know that it actually places New Zealand at risk. So as the whole world moves rapidly to decarbonize, we will be seen as moving in the opposite direction. That puts our trade agreements with the United Kingdom and with the European Union at risk, both of which have quite strong language in them about the need to live up to our agreements under the Paris Agreement to phase out fossil fuels and to hold global warming to 1.5 degrees.
What is the petition that you have launched and how will it be effective?
Well, we are asking the government to reconsider what it has said in those two coalition agreements with the ACT and New Zealand First Parties. As of last night, we'd have over 20,000 people have signed that petition. The more people sign it, I think the more likely it is that the government will, it won't be able to ignore the fact that, you know, there's a world in which they could just say, oh, look, that's just the Green Party, and they would say that. But if we have tens of thousands of New Zealanders sign a petition, and that petition comes to Parliament, and then it gets considered by Parliament, it does make life a bit more difficult for the government to be able to do something that is seen to be both unpopular and also a real retrograde step when it comes to action on climate change. We know from repeated surveys that somewhere between 80 and 90% of New Zealanders are worried about climate change and want our government to do more, not less.
And lastly, I just got a couple of questions around the changes to smoking and vaping. The new coalition is planning to scrap the smoke-free bill. What is the Green Party's stance on this?
Well, we think it is an extraordinary policy move because what it means ultimately is that more New Zealanders will die from lung cancer than they otherwise would. And so what the government is essentially saying is that they're prepared to sacrifice the lives of New Zealanders in order to fund their tax cuts. And that is an extraordinary position for any government to take.
The coalition has said that the reason for this change, as you said, is to help fund National's promised tax cuts. What are the alternatives for easing the taxes and funding these tax cuts?
Well, at the election, the Green Party put forward a package which would have involved something like up to 5% of New Zealanders paying more tax than they currently do. And that would mean that 95% of New Zealanders would be able to pay less income tax than they currently do. And what we were proposing in terms of the tax break that people would get is actually larger than what the National Party have promised with their own package of changes to the tax system. So we believe that you can rebalance wealth in this country, that you can change the tax system in ways that virtually every other developed country has, but that this country has consistently failed to do. And if we were to do that, then there would be more than enough to make sure that average New Zealanders, people on lower incomes and so on, would be able to have kind of more in their pocket to deal with their rent or their food bills than they currently do.
That was Green Party co-leader talking about some of the issues the party recently voiced concerns about, including Hauraki Gulf conservation, oil and gas petition, and changes to smoking legislations.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.